this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Unknown, mysterious, unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places... My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Let's begin tonight in Bowie County, Texas. Apparently, a woman was doing some yard work, maybe around 7 p.m. She moved some objects aside, and she saw there was a snake in her yard. So to deal with the situation, she decided to throw gasoline on the snake and set it on fire. Well, the snake very quickly slithered into a brush pile next to her house. The brush pile caught on fire. Her house caught on fire. By the time the fire department got there, it was completely engulfed in flames. The house is a complete loss, and her neighbor's home was also damaged because this woman thought that snake was just going to sit there, I guess, and burn to death. Weird stuff, my friends, but that's what we talk about on this show. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville and How to Hunt Ghosts and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Now, have you actually seen the video footage of this?
There's footage of this?
Yes, there's like news crew footage of this house burning down.
I haven't seen that. I guess nobody got a chance to videotape the flaming snake, right?
Probably not.
That's a new type of cryptid. We had fire monkey, and now we have fire snakes. The fire serpent is pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
That is a pretty dumb thing to do. Would you ever consider lighting a snake on fire in your yard?
Of course not. I mean, I've heard you throw gasoline on them and like the evaporation will pretty much kill a snake because the snake gets so cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, putting a match to this gasoline on the snake. I mean, seeing this thing's flipping across the yard and this big like. Fire monkey-esque looking snake.
What a strange thing to see if you didn't know what you were looking at. Like, it just you would see this a slithering flame just shooting across a field or something like that. Who would think it's a flaming snake? Have you ever seen such a thing, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop?
No, I haven't.
Has your hair ever been called flaming?
Yes, it has.
Flaming red hair.
Flaming.
But you don't light things on fire.
Not snakes. No.
Has anybody ever tried to light your hair on fire?
No.
You know, I once lit a guy's hair on fire. I've told you that before.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but
with a magnifying glass,
with,
right?
Yeah, it was a magnifying glass, and I was behind him at a pep rally. This is when I was in high school, and I had a magnifying glass. You can do so many fun things with magnifying glasses. It's like your own little death ray. And we were outside. It was super sunny, and I was bored, so I figured let's do something new. And I focused a nice little white hot bead on this. On the nape of this guy's neck, and instantly a little stream of smoke.
Oh no!
And he just jumped up and started slapping his neck. He thought a bee had stung him, and I'm laughing hysterically. He never to this day would suspect there was a kid back there with a magnifying glass.
Now, were you next to a couple friends that saw you
doing
this?
Oh yeah, that's right. And nobody ever wanted to sit in front of me again after that.
And it never got back around to this guy.
No, it never did. It never did. Not to my knowledge. If it did, he never said anything to me. But then again, you know, you don't mess with the guy who carries the magnifying glass. That's the point. So, hey, folks, guess what? Now that I've started you off with such a heartwarming story of brotherly love, this is the Easter edition of the show. Because tomorrow is Easter. And so we're going to have some content for you, especially the second hour of the show, that kind of addresses this question, who is God? And, you know, that's actually a really big question, isn't it? It's the other day I was having a philosophical conversation with a guy, and he said that he's just gone around his whole life just asking everybody, who created God? Where did God come from, right? So we're going to dig into that. We're going to dig into this question. Is there a more difficult question known to man? A more epic yet simple question? Where did God come from? All right. What do all of you listening think about that? We'll see.
Jumping into it would be more of a who or what.
There you go. Questions, you know, for every answer, there's another question. It's like an infinite tunnel that you're traveling down mentally. But we will try to reach some answers. All I know is I wish God would warm it up around here.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's been so cold that even my coat is cold. I can't get my coat to warm up. I put my coat on, I'm even colder. And the wind is whipping around here. What a tease some of these warm days were that we had a while back, because it's as chilly as ever here in late March in western North Carolina.
Well, speaking of warm days, you and I went to the Tattoo Festival.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, and it was like you told the organizer, what a beautiful day, and you couldn't ask for better weather for the tattoo event.
Yep. You'd think he set up a cloud buster and got some, you know, voodoo involved on that, because it was like a beautiful little bubble of perfect weather just for his event, and then this. So, yeah, I'm tired of it. But, you know, I can't complain that much because, you know, soon I am going to go back to Puerto Rico, and I'm going to be kind of bouncing back and forth down there a little bit this year, working on some projects. And I'll tell you guys more about that probably, you know, maybe next week or something along those lines. On a later date, I will explain to you kind of what my weirdo travel schedule is going to be. But the good news is, it is my understanding that as long as we don't get kicked off the air for something we say or do, which could happen at any moment, by the way, this show is not supposed to be preempted for a ball game again until September.
All right.
So, with the exception of those times when I can't be here or there's some, you know, we take a break or whatever, there should always be a Speaking of Strange, even if it's a best of or something like that, on the air for the next several months. So, and everybody out there, you know, have a big, I don't know, cheer. Whatever you do when you hear,
and there's much celebration.
Yeah, celebrate, yeah. Out there. You can see how excited we are about this. We're going to jump into some weird news, but before we do that, I want to touch on something right here at the top of the program. since I am going to be traveling a lot, I also have some new exhibits that I'm trying to get put together before I leave and some stuff I'm trying to get done at the museum. So I am continuing to auction off stuff to raise money for the museum. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, there should be links to some of the interesting things that I am auctioning off through eBay. But here's something else creative that we're trying out. I have created a work of art, Forrest.
Have you?
Yes. It is a 20 by 30 poster. It's all 100% original that I created this thing. It's in a nice frame. And I signed it. Can you believe that, Forrest? I picked up a special pen and I signed it. And aren't you getting like a little tingly when you hear this?
I am.
Do you know what this work of art is? This one-of-a-kind, unique work of art, do you know what it is? Of course you don't. You know why you don't know?
Because you haven't told me.
Because there's only one way to find out what this is. You have to go to Wright's Coin Shop because it's hanging on the wall there. And so if you go into Wright's Coin Shop and you like this work of art, then you get to haggle with Shelley and buy it. And she's going to get as much money as possible out of you. Right, Shelley?
Yes, bring cash.
Flip them upside down and shake them.
Oh, yeah, I'm good at that.
Shelley asked me earlier, how much do you want for this thing? And I told her, and she says, God, really? You think somebody's going to pay that for your crappy piece of art? No, it's fantastic.
Well, you know, speaking of works of art by Joshua P. Warren, I was down in the old Lemur Lab the other day, and there's an evil troll down there.
Oh, is that right? Evil troll. I forgot. He's the one made out of wire, right?
Yes.
It's a wire sculpture. Well, you see, if we have success then with this work of art at Wright's Coin Shop, maybe the troll will end up in there at some point.
I mean, I know it's at least worth 35 cents.
Yeah, I mean, just for the wire alone.
No, the quarter and the dime that's in it.
Well, there you go. That's undeniable proof that it's worth at least that. Those are like what, his eyes and nose or something like that? The quarter?
Something, yeah.
It's a work of, I don't know what you could, it's not abstract, it's just kind of, it's an impressionistic sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll call it that. So, Shelley, people can go into Wright's Coin Shop, they can see this thing, we only have one, it's a unique, one-of-a-kind thing.
Yes.
So, if you get the opportunity to buy it, then you better take it. Also, we'll give everybody a little hint. It does have a little vampire bent to it, wouldn't you say, Shelley?
I would say so.
It's got a little vampire twist. So, and what's the, I guess we can tell everybody. WrightsCoinShop.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah! We got the website up. WrightsCoinShop.com if you want to know how to get there. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let me tell you about something that happened in a Target store. And, what, Shelley? Are you attached to Target? She looks at me like,
Target?
What? You know what's crazy? We're always looking for patterns of weirdness. I have two Target stories tonight.
No.
Yeah, crazy things that have happened in Target. And one of them I was going to read, and I realized, this has got to be held over for the dark 30 hour. I don't feel comfortable reading it here until it's dark 30, especially the night before Easter. But that's what we dig into, the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for the good stuff. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
We'll be right back.
broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and to high strangers around the globe. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And one thing that we do is keep track of these bizarre trends in behavior and phenomena. We always talk about the fact that year 2012, as we all know, was a year of transition. Now we're starting to see some things really kick in and manifest. And, you know, we have people sending us stories and information from all over the planet. We have our own research staff that stays on top of things. We try to be selective about what makes it to the air. And it's always weird to me when, you know, I've been doing this show for 10 years now, and maybe you never have a story about something that takes place in a particular type of store or a restaurant, and then all of a sudden, boom, a lot of weird incidents are happening at this particular place. And you wonder, why all of a sudden are people flipping out at this spot? You know, whether it's McDonald's or it's Walmart or whatever. I guess you can kind of understand Walmart. Everybody goes to Walmart. Everybody, really. Whether you want to or not, if there's a Walmart around, you'll find yourself in the door. So I was surprised when we saw at least two stories come out recently about Target, the Target stores, and because I don't recall reading a story about Targets before. One of them, as I said, I'm going to read to you later during the Dark 30 hour. That's the hour of the show when it's late at night. We tell you it's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's when we can read some of the more controversial and often sordid and seedy stuff. So we're saving that one for later. So to bookend this, here is one from East Liberty, Pennsylvania. A man walked into a Target, and he obtained a large kitchen knife. So I'm assuming he got one that was for sale in their kitchen area, and went on a stabbing spree in the store. He went up to the second floor, and it says that he was laughing hysterically while chasing people through the aisles and stabbing them over and over. Women were screaming. He's stabbing men, women, and kids. At one point, he grabbed a 16-year-old girl by her hair, and he was holding her like a hostage, but continuing to stab her and screaming, "I'll stab her! I'll stab her again if you don't do what I say." He kept grabbing her. She's kicking and screaming, and stabbing this girl over and over. Finally, some men in the store grabbed baseball bats and started beating this guy and beat him down. And they were able to hold him until the cops could take this man into custody. The 16-year-old girl was taken to a hospital. She was seriously wounded. And police asked him, "Why did you do this?" The ultimate question. And he told them that he is possessed by the devil. Fair enough, straight and simple. "I'm possessed by the devil," he says.
This stuff never happens in Target.
You wouldn't expect to see that.
No.
It's like something out of a horror movie, really. And that happened in Pennsylvania. So keep that Target story in mind when I read you the other Target story, which is, again, going to be the last hour of the program. I tell you something else that's an indication that everything's going bonkers. I have a whole list of stories here about children flipping out. And to a certain extent, you figure, okay, well, you know, kids, they're dumb. They do stupid things. They experiment. But no, I'm talking serious stuff, like a 9-year-old robbed McDonald's with a gun. Okay.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Duh! Happy Meals!
I want the toy surprise.
Yeah, that seems like a perfectly logical place for a 9-year-old to rob a treasure trove of plastic crap from China. Wind-up toys. This is in Illinois.
9-year-old boy arrested and charged with armed robbery at McDonald's. But the kid was able to, you know, he got out of jail. They got him out of jail to, I guess, go back and await however they treat a 9-year-old. Whether, I guess, and the court's got their own little way of dealing with that. In the meantime, he carjacked. Yeah, he jacked a car. He did that with a couple of older kids, a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old. So, you know, they say that the group was carrying a pellet gun. It looked like a real rifle, but it was a pellet gun, and they used this to intimidate the driver of a 2003 Pontiac Sunfire, and then they took off in this thing. So that's pretty awful. I mean, when you have a 9-year-old that's already, you know, committing armed robberies and carjackings, I know it sounds harsh, but do we just go ahead and throw that kid off a cliff?
Yes.
I mean, because otherwise, I don't know how what you know, sense of redemption there is, but if he's going to behave this way at 9, you're thinking maybe the rest of his life we're just going to have to pay to keep him locked up in a cage, right? And so that's Illinois. Now we go here to Atlanta, Georgia, which is only about 4 hours down the road from where we are broadcasting here. It says a teen there has been arrested. How old is this teen? You know, it actually doesn't say how old this teen is. So I guess it could. There's a little wide range there in maturity. But they say that they arrested the teen after he stole a police car and barricaded himself in a house. And so they say that, you know, he was, actually this is not the first time that he was arrested, because he had apparently stolen another car. They caught him and arrested him. He got out of the cuffs and then stole the police car. So that's two cars little Houdini has stolen there. And now we go to Taylor, Detroit. They say here a 12-year-old stunned officials at a middle school when they discovered she had in her backpack $20,000 cash. And it says here that according to the chief of police, the 12-year-old apparently got the money from another child who lives across the street. The neighbors have claimed the money, so they're trying to figure out exactly where all this came from, but obviously somebody's been stealing money in that neighborhood. Then we go here to Goose Creek, South Carolina, which is, you know, that's even closer
just
to us.
Charleston.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Says here, a 12-year-old boy there was caught behind the wheel of a stolen police car. Say he wasn't stopping for anything. He was just, you know, driving like, I guess it's, what's the video game for us?
Grand Theft Auto? Yeah.
He's playing the real-life version of Grand Theft Auto. Just, you know, raising hell. In a police car. These stories of kids getting crazy are just really mounting up. And I never got into trouble with the law when I was a minor. I mean, I've never really been in trouble with the law anyway. But it's always been this understanding, like, if you commit a crime before you're 18, though, that you can get away with it. Does anybody have any thoughts? Do you know if that's true, Forrest?
That's what I always thought. Well, unless it's some kind of major crime and you're like 16 or 17, they can try you as an adult.
If you murder somebody or something like that. But you almost, I mean, I always kind of heard growing up that, hey, you know, if you're not 18, you can pretty much do what you want and they'll just wipe everything clean when you're 18. I wonder, A, is that actually true? Is it that simple? And B, if so, do we need to re-examine that law?
I think we need to re-examine it, and not just these little slaps on the wrist.
Kids are growing up faster is what it seems like, and they're not always growing up well, faster and well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, here is a story about another thief. We'll see if Shelley sympathizes with this one. It is the ice cream thief.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We'll continue reading Weird News right after this on Speaking of Strange. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Thanks for spending your evening with us. We're calling this sort of a little Easter edition because hour number two, we're going to dig into a question, maybe the ultimate question, who is God? Where is he from? Who made that guy? And we will be very sensitive with this subject. So we're talking about weird things happening around the world. That's what we do on this show. And speaking of God, this next story comes to us from St. Charles, Missouri. Somebody broke into a church one evening, and the church has had a huge freezer full of tons of ice cream. There's no telling how much ice cream they have in this freezer. Somebody broke in and just went on a binge at just eating ice cream nonstop. And when this got reported to the police, they say it actually was pretty easy to find the culprit because about three blocks away from the church, they found a man stumbling down the street with his face and clothes stained with ice cream. They also found his baseball cap at the scene. It's almost as bad as leaving your wallet there, if everybody, especially if you've got the ice cream on your face, right? So they arrested him and charged him, and he just told the police that he is a, quote, ice cream junkie, and he needed a fix of the sweet stuff. 24-year-old man, ice cream junkie. You'd think you'd get a headache eating that much ice cream.
You would. Brain freeze.
Well, he was stumbling down the street.
Yeah, that's right. Well, his head was numb.
Who thinks to break into a church for ice cream?
Well, I mean, you're not going to break into a church for booze. So it does kind of make sense. You know, to me...
Well, maybe there's a big sign that said, ice cream social tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
To me, it's almost like that ice cream is the vice of good people. You know what I mean? Because I never eat ice cream. I just, I do the bad stuff. I do the hard stuff. But good people who never drink or smoke or any of that, they eat ice cream. When they get naughty. So you got to pick and choose. How are you an ice cream eater, Shelley?
I love ice cream. I like these little ice cream Snickers bars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you an ice cream binger?
I wouldn't say I'm an ice cream binger. I am pretty steady about my ice cream eating. I don't just eat it all up at once.
Because you see in movies and on TV, you know, some woman has a bad day, and so she storms into the grocery store, and she comes out with a big tub of ice cream. Next thing you know, she's sitting on her couch with a big spoon, spooning it right out of the tub. Her mascara is all running, and she's watching some...
Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I will eat it right out of the carton. Uh-huh. I do. I don't bother with that.
I mean, do you run and buy it when you're having that kind of a day to fill the void inside?
No, I anticipate the bad day, and I have it on hand for just those occasions.
Forrest, how about you? What's your relationship with ice cream like?
Lactose intolerant.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't work for you at all.
I mean, I do enjoy ice cream occasionally,
yeah.
But, you know, I pay the consequences.
There are some alternatives to that, though, right? You can get
There's some lactose-free. There's, like, yeah. A couple flavors that are lactose-free, but for the most part, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Pay the price for if I were to go into an ice cream binge, it would not be pretty.
Are you, does it give you pain? Does it give you pain, or do you just create a lot of noise and aromas?
I should do both.
Okay. I see. You're swelling up. On the inside.
Rich, delicious sounds that okay. come out from various orifices in my body.
Hey, thanks for sharing.
And it doesn't smell like chocolate anymore. Does it smell like... What is that? What is that moose steak? I don't even know. I don't know the ice cream names. Isn't there some kind of moose mud or something like that?
Moose tracks.
Moose mud. That's what it is. It goes in as moose tracks and it comes out as moose mud.
Gonna put people off ice cream for Easter.
Well, we're saving people. Here's a story from Fort Walton Beach,
Florida.
That's our Florida bell. We get so many stories from Florida, we denote it when it happens. A guy, a 49-year-old man, apparently asked somebody, an acquaintance or a friend, I suppose, if he could borrow a car to go out for a... Okay, well, it says a test drive, so I guess this... Okay, this guy apparently was just trying to buy the car, so presumably he took a stranger's car for a test drive. And 27 hours later, the owner of the car contacted the law. The guy was arrested, and he admitted that he borrowed the car, and he knew he had to return it, but he said he decided to keep it for a while so he could continue, quote, a binge of drugs and alcohol, end quote. Slayed it right out there.
All right.
That makes it very easy for the cops when you do that. As your lawyer, I would not advise you to say such a thing.
No.
But we get a lot of these stories where people are just like, yeah, here's what I was going to do. You know, I'm possessed by the devil. I decided to go on an ice cream binge. I stole a cop car. Whatever. And you know, you can tell people like that, though, they're doing things with great intention and premeditation. They just make a decision. They're like, I'm going to do this today. I'll probably get caught. Oh, well, this is a story about a guy who just lost his cool in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which I imagine this sort of thing happens a lot more frequently. This man, let's see, 31, I believe, he is a federal prison guard, and so he usually has a gun around. And he got into a big fight with his wife, and he just flipped out and decided to pull his wedding ring off. You know, a lot of people do that. They'll pull their ring off and throw it or something like that, something dumb. But he couldn't get his wedding ring off. Which, that's, you know, that's kind of, I'm sure, an awkward situation when you're trying to, and you're like, and it's not working, and so... He decided to pull out his gun and shoot it off. Seriously. The dude pulls his gun out and shoots his ring. Obviously, he badly mangled his finger, but still couldn't remove the ring.
What an idiot. You know, a little lotion will take that thing right off.
It's like, give me 1 second. I'm going to go to the bathroom and get this off. So, yeah, this guy, I wonder if that ricochets when you shoot your ring like that. Probably.
I would say so. I mean, like, if it's like a titanium ring or something like that, real hard metal.
Yeah, what's this ring made out of? So, yeah, the guy, he was taken to the hospital, treated for the wound and also for mental and emotional issues. They say police had been to this residence a couple of times already for some domestic scenarios. Have you ever shot anything really close up, Forrest? Yeah, what's something you shot, like, really close up?
I mean, I don't know if you consider the ground or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Just the ground. Because one time, when I was a kid, I got a revolver. No, actually, you know, honestly, growing up around here, it's not uncommon to be taught how to use a gun when you're a kid.
Right.
You know, you go out with your dad or whatever, and he shoots some cans. I think that's healthy, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So I think maybe it's kind of like, you know how in Europe, they give kids a little bit of alcohol when they're growing up, and then when they become an adult, they don't just go nuts and run out and go binge drinking. Maybe it's the same thing if you introduce a kid a little bit to firearms. They don't go out and grab the forbidden firearm when they're an adult and decide, oh, I want to shoot something now. So anyway, yeah, I was young enough, and I took a quarter and I put it on an embankment there, and I got maybe about 5 feet away and aimed and shot the quarter and hit it, you know, dead in the center of this quarter. And it was so cool because the bullet actually mushed up on the quarter, and the corner was like cone-shaped after that. And I just thought it was a really neat thing to have a quarter that had been shot with a bullet. But it didn't ricochet. It just smushed right up there into the quarter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, wait till you hear this story I have for you about you, that's right, you, and your possible travel to Mars. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. Everybody knew that he made moonshine.
Minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we justify calling this an Easter edition of the show because we are going to explore the question of who is God? Where did God come from? Or as Forrest says, what is God? We'll dig into it. We'll and you know, I think I may have the answer to this, finally.
Really?
Yeah. I may. Can you believe it? After eons,
you have the answer.
I tonight, Joshua P. Warren, I will answer the question. I think that's why I was born for this moment tonight, to go on Speaking of Strange. Right between the dark 30 hour and the ice cream binge, to tell everybody who God actually is.
Well, you know, the second you figure it out, it'll be totally rearranged with a whole new set of the whole new set of complex rules.
That's very likely. But come on, Forrest, duh, I'm God, right? I'm just going to spoil it for everybody. Yes, I'm God. All right,
no,
you happy now? You might be surprised. No, I will tell you. I'll tell you seriously who God is. Well, whatever God is, God made a lot of stuff. Because, you know, you look up at the sky, and, you know, you hold your thumb up there, and that patch of sky that your thumb is covering contains billions of galaxies. I mean, you can't even comprehend that. You know how it is. You try and you're like, why even bother? Makes you feel kind of tiny, huh, Forrest?
It does.
And so how many people listening to this show really would like to visit one other planet before you die? You know, ask yourself this question. Would you like to at least visit one other planet before you die? Would you, Forrest?
Of course.
Would you? And Shelley?
Yeah.
You'd think that I'd be the first to say yes on this, but I've had, you know, out-of-body experiences where I look down and I realize the Earth is a little blue ball, and I'm like, oh, crap, I've gone too far. So I'm not sure I would like that. But now let me ask you this. What if the catch is you get to be one of the lucky people to make history, be one of the very first people to go to Mars, but it's a one-way ticket?
Not so keen on that.
Mm-hmm. Would that change your decision-making, Forrest?
It would.
It's not quite a visit at that point. It's more of a relocation, really.
Yes.
And because there is a private space project here called Mars One, and they have enough technology to get you there, but they're like, hey, we're not even going to try to pretend that we can bring you back. We can shoot you in that direction, but shooting you back, you know. And they say here they are just trying to get you alive there and give you whatever you need to hopefully live out the rest of your natural life. And they are claiming right now they think this flight is going to leave September of the year 2022. So that is less than 10 years away to shoot yourself off to Mars. And that gives you 10 years to get all your affairs in order. Go see as much of this place as you ever want to see. You know, if you've always wanted to go to Tahiti, now's the time. Because
go somewhere warm.
Yeah. And then, because, you know, they say, actually, These folks are going to have to go through 8 years of training. So that's why they're starting the search right now. So you very quickly, apparently, would be selected, and then everybody's going to know that in 8 years, you're firing yourself off, or somebody's firing you off, supposedly, to Mars, and they better have really good aim. You know, it'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? To tell all your friends, well, in 8 years, basically I'm going to be dead to you. But, I mean, there's a romantic element about it. But if you watched a movie of that, it'd be a real tearjerker, I bet.
It'd have Bruce Willis and Aerosmith doing the soundtrack or something like that.
Something like that. Okay, my friends. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it will be hour number two of the show when we dig into a theme of some kind. And tonight, it's our Easter edition of 2013, so we are going to dig into this question of who is God? And we're going to try to get as close to an answer as possible, and you might be kind of surprised what we have determined. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
13-month-old baby, softer looking lad.